Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, well, we have a cool guest to talk to about Melvin Gordon, and that is Nick Hardwick, who is a former center for the Chargers for many, many years, and now is a media dude. I don't know if he's comfortable. Nick, I don't know if you're comfortable being called a media dude, but that's what you're doing, right?
Hey, you can call me whatever you want. Yeah, I'll take media dude, dad, average guy. Yeah, we're all good. Whatever you want to label me as. Media dude sounds fun to me.
So tell us a little bit about Melvin Gordon. What are we getting in this guy?
You know, it's interesting thinking about Melvin Gordon. You can look at his numbers last year, 3.8 yards per carry. You can take the year before and you can go 5.1 yards per carry. And then you kind of look at the remainder of his career prior to those 2 years, and you say, well, he's a pretty average running back. But where Melvin really stands out, in my opinion, is out in space, both in the run and the pass. And he really stands out, other than his first year where he got snuffed from scoring any touchdowns, is down inside the 10-yard line. Melvin Gordon is a force. He really is one of those guys, kind of LeGarrette Blount-ish, that just has a nose for the end zone, and when he gets down there, he smells blood, and he finds a way to get the ball in. But it's going to be interesting to see, does Melvin rebound from last year? Was last year kind of an outlier because of the holdout and the delayed start, no training camp, no offseason, trying to work him back into a system that they had already been kind of running and designed around Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson? Or is that more of where Melvin Gordon's body is and what's left in the tank for Melvin Gordon? I know he's only going into his year 27 with the Denver Broncos here, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, Melvin's, I've always thought, had fairly brittle knees just coming in out of college, what they did and how much they used him in Wisconsin. And then he's only, in his five NFL seasons, he's only played 16 games one time, and those weren't soft tissue injuries. Those were MCLs on both knees. Those were meniscus issues. And I remember 2 years ago in the playoffs, 2018, it was after I had stepped down from being the Chargers color analyst for a couple of years to spend more time with my kids. Daniel Jeremiah took over the gig, and NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Draft, Daniel Jeremiah. And yeah, I remember we had him on my radio show out in San Diego, and Daniel says, this is going to be a really interesting game because this may be the first time in the NFL that we've ever witnessed a running back in double Donjoy. And what he was talking about was Melvin Gordon wearing the offensive lineman Donjoy knee braces on both knees to play in a division game in New England, in which he ended up being really ineffective, as you could imagine. I mean, offensive linemen don't like wearing these things because they inhibit our movement. I couldn't imagine being a running back being a double Donjoy, but that would be the fear for me as a Broncos fan seeing this signing, is that Melvin's knees don't have a lot in it. If they do have a lot in the tank and he can kind of return to 2018 form, Melvin Gordon can be a real force for the Denver Broncos, specifically when they get him into space, let him capture the edge in the run game with some toss, crack, sweeps, because nobody wants to tackle that big body. He's kind of built like Steven Jackson was, just a hulking 230-pound man with really good straight-line speed. He's really good in the tackle box when you're talking about trap plays where he doesn't have to be shifty or make anybody miss at the line of scrimmage, because that is not his forte. He's a really excellent pass blocker. He understands the highest level of pass blocking schemes, and he rarely misses any assignments there. And he's also a very dynamic pass catcher out of the backfield. And he ended up being one of Phillip Rivers' security blankets over the last several years. So there are really good components in Melvin Gordon's game. The only holdback on Melvin for me is that he's not really a running back that you can turn loose with any given game plan and say, make it work. I think you have to find specific plays that work for Melvin in the run game.
Now, Nick, you and I have been around football long enough to know that the wide receiver position is dominated by guys with big egos. Now, running backs aren't too far behind those guys. Here in Denver, we got a guy, Philip Lindsay. He's a Pro Bowler as well. So while Melvin Gordon, simply by the size of his contract, is most likely going to be the starter week in and week out if he's healthy. How is he going to feel if Lindsey, if Phillip Lindsey comes in the game and gets hot and takes a series or two away from Melvin? Is he the kind of guy who's going to be okay with that, cheering his teammate? Or is he going to be like those wide receivers and say, hey, coach, what's up? I need the ball.
No, Melvin is a really good teammate by all accounts. I was never a personal teammate of his, but being in the broadcast booth and on the sidelines when he first came into the league, you did get to be around him enough to understand that he is a good teammate. And I guess, thankfully, with the Chargers over the last several years, he really had to watch the rise of Austin Ekeler and watch Austin when his hand got hot. They mm-hmm. left him in the game. There was a couple of 2 years ago, a game in Jacksonville where Melvin wouldn't have any success. Austin was having a ton of success, and they left him in for the four-minute drive, which says a lot to a running back because that is the time that they're expected to really earn their hay. 4 minute offense. Austin actually came in the game, fumbled the ball. Jacksonville tied the game up, ended up winning the thing in overtime. And that kind of ended his run there, but it looked like Austin was going to be taking over significant portions of the game plan. So I think Melvin has been humbled. I think he's been humbled by the contract that was taken away from him from the Chargers. I think he's been humbled by watching Austin Ekeler then go to the Chargers and get a $24.5 million contract and reward him and tell Melvin to go ahead and test out free agency.
Right.
And I think sitting and watching significant portions of last season when Austin was having a lot of success, I think that will go a long way towards him having some perspective of his own role within the team. And I think when it comes to coming to a team with a guy like Phillip Lindsey, you do have to accept that that guy has capabilities that you don't have, and you also yep. have capabilities that he doesn't have.
Okay, if you had to pick between Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley right now, who would you pick?
I would take Melvin Gordon.
Okay, good.
I think, yeah, Melvin's knees, I think, have a little bit more life in them. He's a really tough guy. And it just said so much that the Rams were willing to eat a significant portion of that contract to not have to finagle with the load management.
All right, Nick, we're kind of running out of time here, but one more question for you. Could you give us your quick thoughts on the AFC West offseason and how you see them stacking up right now?
Yeah, I see the Denver Broncos, I mean, surprisingly to me last year, made the most progress. If we were to give out a most improved award in one season, it was the Denver Broncos. And I think they really quickly turned that thing around, and I think they're on trajectory to finish most likely, I would guess, second in the AFC at this point, kind of based on their moves. The Chargers have brought in some older guys, Linval Joseph. We'll see how much tread he's got on the tires, 31. You guys know Chris Harris really intimately going into his age 31 season. So they got some older cornerbacks, and they've got some, they've brought in Brian Bulaga, Trey Turner. So they are trying to build that thing. I think they're going back and trying to do it the right way, going from inside out and having some lockdown corners. I just do worry that some of the guys they brought in, their better years are behind them. And I think the Denver Broncos are kind of heading in the other direction. Really like to see the signing of Jarrell Casey. I think he's a very dynamic interior player who's going to be a big difference maker for them.
All right, we appreciate it, Nick. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick. Be good, man.
All right, guys. Best to you.
Well, now that the Broncos have more or less finished off their free agency, how is that going to impact the draft? I'm guessing it's wide receiver. We'll get into that conversation next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.